Hello, and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 139. I am your host this week, Will Wilson, and with me in the chair is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
And Janet Jordan. And also John Jordan.
Thank you. I don't understand where these things come from.
It's best you don't know.
I kind of vaguely saw something about it, but I've not bothered to check up exactly why this person's supposedly, apart from just sharing a surname, which is completely random.
It's just one of those silly jokes. Yes, John's here in his other persona, and we're here in our normal personas. It's been a busy old week this week, hasn't it? I mean, both for you guys on Biz and for Pocket Gamer.
Well, it was a busy week last week, wasn't it? Busy week all the time now.
Busy week last week. I've almost managed to blank the horrors of Gamescom from my mind. All those people milling around. All those booth babes.
There weren't any booth babes.
There were a few, yeah. What? Wait, you weren't any? Were you not walking around the public floor?
I didn't see any.
There was one who just had body paint on.
Oh, was there? Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. I didn't.
That's what you flew home early, was it?
Yeah.
Or were flown home early?
I had to get quickly back to the hotel. I don't think it was real body paint. It just looked like body paint. Alas, I was trying to be too polite and wasn't looking too hard. I was on the radio this week.
Oh no!
It didn't take long to come up with it.
Introduction. I wouldn't have been able to slip it in later on.
This is going to be like this advert all over again. It's going to be at the beginning and the end. We're going to get this dropped in.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, Keith, what time were you on the radio?
Yeah, what time were you on the radio, Keith?
I've been on my local radio, but that was a long time ago.
Three a.m.
3 a.m.
That's prime time.
Not many people listening then.
Well, you can listen to an iPlayer, can't you?
Listen to Five Lives Up all night. Go to about 2 hours in, and you'll be able to hear a fantastic segment.
I have listened to that slot before, and as soon as it comes on, I immediately switch it off.
you're far too.
Didn't hit you. I wouldn't have done that with you, Will, but I didn't hear it last night.
One of our old interns tweeted me and said he heard me on the radio. So at least one person was listening.
Cool. It's good bedtime listening. I always listen to you when I'm in bed, Will.
Yeah, that's different though. It's not on the radio. I was talking about games at Five Live Studio. It was exciting for me. First time on national radio, even if it was on the graveyard slot.
Yep.
It was good fun.
Talking about games?
Yeah, talking about games.
Who wants to listen to that?
Well, that's probably why it's on the graveyard slot.
Games talk?
Games talk. We went 1-1-1-0-0. Premium, pay for premium. And then we all had a good old giggle.
let's get on with it. let's go on about something we've not even heard.
Well, I've heard it. I've heard it many times. I actually cry now when I hear it.
I don't think the listeners will be that interested in something that they're never going to hear, really.
So, yeah, that's up all night, 2 hours in. Just skip to there and you'll hear me. Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's go on to the news.
News!
First up on the news this week is that I was on the radio earlier on this week. No, I've got this, I got this story about some guy at a corporation has resigned. I don't know, some sort of CEO? No idea.
I've never heard of him.
Steve something. Yeah. Steve Jobs. There you go. He's resigned as CEO of Apple Corporation, which is apparently a major technology corporation in America. And the Tim Cook has taken over COO, or originally. Now he's CEO.
You know, what company did he used to work for, Tim Cook?
He used to work for, this was in 1998 when he joined Apple.
Mm.
I know that. I remember the year. I can't remember what
company it was.
What was it?
They were even then probably one of the worst PC companies out there. Compaq.
Oh, not Compaq. No, terrible. They were second only in terribleness to tiny PCs.
I don't think, yeah, Tiny PCs was only in the UK, wasn't it?
Compact, yeah, it was, yeah, yeah.
A slightly more global company than Tiny PC.
Tiny was rubbish there. Anyway, so yes, this is very likely due to health issues.
Yeah, it resigns almost seems the wrong word, because you imagine when someone resigns, it's because they've stormed out or there's been some kind of difficulties or something. It should be kind of like bows out or something. Some kind of new word.
It's almost like a retires, isn't it?
It's
more like retires. What is he now? Chairman?
Chairman of the board.
Chairman of the board. Chairman. It doesn't quite work, that one.
You're on there.
Yeah, so there we go. The only thing I've seen it do, this announcement, is send the share prices tumbling.
No, it didn't.
It did. It went down by 7%.
Yeah, but that was after the stock market was shut. So it's out of hours trading, which is not normal trading.
All right, fine. So then out of hours trading, it was down 7%.
I think it's only down 2% now, isn't it? I think it's not massive. It's
no surprise at all that this has happened. The only surprise is kind of it's taken so long for it to happen. Because, you know, anyone who saw him at the last... kind of press conference. In the last couple of press conferences, all the ones this year, he's been pretty obviously not getting any better. So, you know, I mean, there have been quite a lot of people moaning to say Apple should at least say what's going to happen when he does have to kind of step down. So it's kind of, you know, it's not, because the thing about share prices, you know, that kind of stuff, if they expect it, then it's not really, they don't get, you know, upset about it.
You know, for the everyday you and me and the everyday folk, it's not really going to be much of a difference, really. Tim Cook's been running the company for a while now, hasn't he? But it is essentially.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I kind of differ. I feel it's been a bit odd today that obviously it broke. The problem was the news broke really late, like about midnight UK time. So so well done to Keith, who actually was awake and wrote news stories about it. But
I'm always awake.
But yeah, and it's been quite a weird thing in the UK because. Because for those of us who were awake and writing about it, you didn't want to spend ages writing about it because it was really late. And we just wrote like a news story about it, that it had happened as like a factual event, and then basically went to sleep. But then by the time we woke up, the Americans had obviously, it was on the West Coast, would have been only 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they wrote the news pieces and then continued to speculate for the next 10 hours. So we've kind of woken up to all this speculation, and it's and for a lot of it, it all seems said. So I was going to write an opinion thing, and then you kind of look around and just think, what on earth can I say that all these people who haven't already said? And it's kind of funny that obviously some people know him quite well, or you know, but literally everyone's been saying, yeah, I met Steve Jobs, it's like in a press conference 10 years ago or something, and they're trying to make these massive assertions about why he's a genius by this. Yeah, somebody told me to get, actually one of them was like this, oh yeah, I asked him a question about iTunes, and he just said, we're not talking about that. And that was the genius of it. It was kind of like these really odd, kind of anything he did. The way tied his shoelaces just told you that he was going to be the man who would change the music industry. It's like, oh, it's all bollocks. So it's all been a little bit ridiculous. That obviously,
it sounds awful, but it has been like he's died, really. Everyone's been talking about him like he's passed. And you know, obviously no one's had a bad word to say and stuff. I think everyone's just worried that when whatever comes after the next iPhone and iPad, what happens then? I think everyone's worried that they won't have the ingenious, you know, to do something wild. I don't think it's true.
Well, I do think though, because we've been like polling some of our developers, and some of them are a bit like, oh, yeah, blah blah blah, yeah, no change at all. And I think there is a slightly more subtle point going on that obviously, you know, for the last couple of years, Steve Jobs has not been dotting the every I and crossing every T on everything, because he's just been ill. So he's not been doing that in the level he would have done before. But and obviously Tim Cook's not Steve Jobs, so he's more of a kind of operations type guy. And obviously Apple, very clever company, and you know, so the structure in a way that the products they will make. You know, we know what an iPhone 5 is going to be. We know what an iPad 3 is going to be. We can kind of imagine what an iPad 4 is going to be. You know, you can kind of see that they're kind of incremental things. But I do think that there's two things, I think. And there's one thing, there's definitely that press reaction where Steve Jobs would announce something and Steve Jobs would say it's magical. And there was that distortion field, I think. There was a very personal charisma about him. And some people have it. And I never met him, so I haven't. But, you can kind of tell that's how it is. And, you know, Tim Cook just won't have that. So I think there is a slight loss to that degree of a front man.
Yeah.
And I kind of think the other thing will be, if there is like any mishaps now that happen, previously, Steve, they've just go, it's not a big mission. Like when Ping happened, you know, we all forgot about Ping. You know, it's a big thing. No one talked about it anymore. It was just like Steve's just so good. Whereas now, I think you'll start to see if little things like that happen, it'll be like built up to a list of what would have Steve done? Oh, is Tim doing anything different? And it's all bollocks. It'll all be bollocks. But I think there'll be a loosening of that kind of bulletproofness that the company had.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be the next press conference, won't it? Because I thought the last press conference was really quite tame. I really didn't think. I know everyone went mad about iCloud and all this, but I really didn't think there was anything there. I was really disappointed. But you know, they get away with it because he was there doing it, and I think that's what, as you're saying, kind of when Cook stood up there, everyone will be looking to see what he doesn't get away with.
Yeah.
And then that will be all over the press.
Just
quickly, but say the real reason is that clearly, whatever Apple do, is any other company operating on that level who's going to take because Apple aren't going to fall apart in a level so bad, not going to do like HP and just go, oh yeah, we've got it all wrong, and there's no competition anyway, pressurizing them, are they really? I mean, Nokia may put something together in a couple of years' time if the Microsoft thing goes well. The new device is looking good, which we might talk about later. But Apple is so far ahead of everyone else that they have so much breathing space.
Well,
that's what someone said about. Go on.
Well, I was going to link to the next story because that would be perfect.
Let's link.
Sorry. So, you say that, John, but one company that is getting quite close to Apple, a little bit too close for comfort, one might say. Is second largest or debatable, because Keith is going to jump in here and say actually something. Second largest phone manufacturer in the world, Samsung, who are currently in the courts with Apple in two different countries, Germany and the Netherlands.
No, there's 19 cases between Apple and Samsung.
All right, but the most two recent ones that I can remember off the top of my head, rulings in courts in Germany and the Netherlands.
That's true.
Referring to the Galaxy Tab 10.1. Which I've got sat in front of me, by the way. Look at that, I'm just turning it on. Where's the power button? It's not like the iPad, where's the power button?
It's not like the iPad. Okay, not the power button. Then.
Damn, now they're going to use that as evidence. The power button's in a weird place. Anyway, put it that way. Yes, so the Galaxy Tab 10.1, which was stopped from being sold in most European countries, but now it's just only Germany for now. And the Galaxy smartphones, which are being banned stopped from being sold in Netherlands. This is where it gets a bit complicated.
Well, it's complicated because that's where they import them to. So they all fly into the Netherlands. So if you stop banning them coming into the Netherlands, you ban them across Europe. That's the.
Do you think that's why they took them to court in the Netherlands?
That's complicated because when you read up about that,
it's even more complicated, isn't it?
Some people are saying really they kind of messed up there. They could have gone harder, but because the Netherlands wasn't included in the German court case, then they had to do this in the Netherlands. It's all a bit complex. But I mean, there was some really bad. I mean, unless I read this wrong, there was some really bad reporting of this yesterday. Because I mean, obviously it makes a good headline that the idea of it being banned across the whole of Europe, but it was made out that the court in Holland had banned it. That was their ruling, which wasn't. It was because as John said, that's the kind of hub for the rest of Europe. So Samsung will shift things around. I would have thought they've got 7 weeks to shift things around, and they've put out a statement saying it won't even affect Holland. So I don't know what plans they have.
I mean, the whole thing you have to realise is literally, and it's happened. It comes in waves. That like a couple of years ago. It was Qualcomm and Nokia were suing each other all over the world, and these companies are always suing each other, and it kind of just changes what patterns are being sued. So like in the end, Qualcomm and Nokia, because at one point Qualcomm had banned the import of all Nokia phones while trying to into America. Obviously, that's not very many, particularly.
All five phones.
Aha! but in the end, they just sort it out, and they just pay each other off. And obviously, Apple have been suing Nokia, and they paid each other off. It becomes, in layman's terms, a slight case of kind of willy waving, where just all these lawyers get up in all the courts, and all the lawyers make money, and the courts are full.
They got to do something though,
Exactly.
There's no point in having lots of lawyers if they're just sitting around.
Oh no, exactly. And to be fair, it can, if you win a case, it can, there can be substantial amounts of money that kind of pass between you. But normally, what happens is they get to a stage where you know, someone's majority kind of in the wrong and someone's a minority in the wrong. So they're all in the wrong. None of them are completely in the right. And then they kind of just come up to with some... And often those deals anyway, they're not, they don't pay like, oh, here's $1 billion in cash. You know, it's all kind of spread over time. And it's, so I think the problem for the press is, and certainly when I'm writing these things, one, we're not lawyers, so we haven't got a clue what any of this stuff means, really. And secondly, it's the process of how that money changes hands is very, very complicated. So, and even I think at the moment, who's suing? Microsoft is suing Motorola, and they're trying to ban the importation of all Motorola phones into America. I mean, the whole thing's fairly preposterous, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the interesting thing about this yesterday, as someone pointed out, was that the actual patents that the one that's been found on, that they're actually more to do with Android than they are to do with the actual Samsung phones. So the idea is that if Apple win this case outright, then Apple will have something they can use against all the other Android manufacturers.
But the particular Apple Samsung ones are specific toward the device as well. That's not the ones in Europe, as far as I understood, were much. Or the wider Apple ones are that Apple are saying because Samsung is its main parts component manufacturer, it's had access to information that then it's used.
Oh yeah, that's not so much
a patent one, is it?
But this one in Holland was. The one in Holland was, and
it was about the image. It was about image, how it handles images or something like that, which is an Android.
Yeah, if that one's found to be true, then they can then go and use that against all the other ones, apparently, which is quite different to the German one, which was all about copying.
Well, talking of copying, I want to move swiftly on because we haven't really talked about games yet. Sorry. Games. Yeah, we've got to talk about games, I'm afraid. I'll whisper sweet numbers into your ear later. Sonic CD. Talking of copying. Used to copy a lot of CDs. Sonic CD is coming to iOS.
I got in trouble about this earlier.
You got into trouble? Why?
Because I think this is actually the worst Sonic of all of the old Sonics. It's heralded by some people as some kind of amazing game, and it's really not. It's quite poor, to be honest. But so everyone, it's one of them things. I think because not many people had a Mega CD, it kind of got heralded up as being something amazing. And then when you actually sit down and play it, which I thought it was something amazing until I actually played it about 5 or 6 years ago on the PC, and then I thought, oh, actually, isn't that good? So I suppose it has credibility with Sonic fans. So.
Has it got lots of cool CD enhanced features, like full motion video, and physical actors?
It was a really bad cartoon at the beginning of him running around, with some really bad guitar music in the background.
Well, that sounds all right.
Which kind of set the precedent for all the Sonics that followed, to be honest. But yeah, no, it's bad, and it's worse. I describe it as, I mean, there'll be people listening to this who completely disagree, but I always found it like a kind of just a little kind of add-on to Sonic 1, really. It wasn't really that, there wasn't really that much there.
Mark would disagree. He likes this one, doesn't he?
And I thought the music's really bad, but everyone says it's really good. I don't think it's good.
We're going from one old game to another. EA released a press release after I'd posted this with a bit more details, but... Yeah. Theme Park, we have more information on it, and it is going to be a freemium game for iOS.
You've managed to iron the initial disgust out of your voice there, Will. It's very, very good.
Did you like that? my fist is currently shaking. So, yeah, it's a remake. I don't know what the guy was... talking about when he said to me like he used the original graphics, because that was what I was told, but no, it's a 3D remake. Actually, the graphics are quite nice.
He was completely wrong then.
He was completely wrong. He said it's got the same rides as well, but no, it's got extra rides. It's got like Mass Effect.
Did you just meet a man at Gamescom who said,
no,
oi.
I was talking to James Selby, Global Product Manager.
That's what he told you.
that's what this card says in front of me. But yeah, so I don't know what's up with that. So yeah, they did a press release after I posted that story, probably just so they can go, ha ha ha.
They set you up.
Oh yeah, they set me up. I wasn't overly positive about the fact that it's being turned into a premium game. So they probably.
How does that work in terms of theme park?
Well, you get one theme park, which is your own theme park, and you build rides to attack people, and you probably earn coins, and there is no doubt some kind of energy, or there is some kind of time-based thing where you have to wait for the rides to build, and then you have to annoy your friends. Could you help me? Could you help me finish my magic carpet ride, please? I need 3 nails.
That's what I don't like about all these games, the waiting.
It's not a Facebook game, is it? It's not
a Facebook game, which makes me think it's going to be a Facebook game.
The mobile games don't do that spamming friends thing.
You do. Yeah, you do. I've had to review some for a site that will remain nameless, where they've literally lifted the Facebook model and brought it straight across, and you're doing
that via Facebook, presumably, are you?
Yeah. You have to connect to Facebook, and then your iPhone crashes, and
Well. You know, I wouldn't put it past them to put this on Facebook as well. They haven't announced it yet, but they did. I mean, Sim Social has come out on Facebook, and I'm surprised to see that one come across either. But, well, you know what? I really want a hands-on with this, and I am in talks with EA. I'm talking to their people to try and get a preview, because I was meant to
ask his passport. You might think he's a people, but...
You're talking to their cleaners, Will.
His name is John Doe.
It's gonna be like the BBC News 24 kind of guy was doing the cleaning job, and they asked him about. It was about. Was it about Apple or something?
Yeah, it was about Apple. Yeah.
It's some tech thing. It was so funny. He sounded quite sensible, didn't he?
I'm trying to get a preview, so hopefully hands on. Oh, I was meant to get one on Gamescom, but the internet wasn't working at the time, so I wasn't able to. But I'm a little bit disappointed. I quite like the idea of having modern rides, though, with some of their latest franchises. That sounds quite cool. I approve of that. Mm. That's quite a fun...
Can we segue? Can you work out what the next segue is?
Fun rides based on modern
theme park
franchises.
Theme park developer.
Theme park developer Bullfrog. And then he's the developer, ex-developer of Populous.
Very good. Making
Topia.
Topia.
Although, he's probably going to have to change the name. Because there's already a game out there called Topia.
Well, I think it's Topia HD, I think, technically.
Okay, Topia HD. I knew it was going to be. Topia HD. That's
well,
that is
got Topia, the first planet.
First planet.
Whatever they do these days.
A new beginning. No, that was Populous exactly. 3, wasn't it?
I don't know.
That was terrible, Populous 3. I don't think Glenn Copps was involved in that one.
No.
Populous 1 and 2 are very good. For the time, anyway. It's a bit repetitive now. 1,000 levels, though. 1,000 levels. How awesome is that? Anyway, Topia HD probably is. It's looking very nice. It's a. It's not really a game, is it?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, I've seen it a couple of times now, from a tech demo to a bit more of a tech demo, and it's. I mean, how would you describe it? Well, it's kind of like.
I'd say it's a terraforming experience.
Yes. So basically, you're playing on a spherical world globe type thing with some land and some water, and you're just moving your finger around and making things.
I'd describe it as a bit like on From Dust, if you want to play a modern
it's a console game.
Yeah, I know, but everyone knows what that is. It's they do.
Okay,
but there's like water effects and all the proper sort of nice things happening. And there's like when things catch fire, herds of animals flee the fire and stuff like this.
Well,
this is amazingly detailed.
So this is what Glenn's thinking about now. So he's basically got he's got this landscape that you're manipulating, and you can actually manipulate. I think you can directly manipulate animals by selecting animals. I'm not quite sure it's like. I think it's quite black and white that you can throw them around or anything. But the kind of the whole idea is how you interact these different. Animals, and they're not earth animals, they're weird, strange, one-legged, whatever, or different types of animals. So it's how you interact with them, and there's some of them are predators and some of them are eaten by the predators, and so you can kind of like move them around and do stuff with them. So I think that's what he's trying to think about, how that the gameplay will evolve around that, but he's not got there yet. He's basically just got it to that level where he's about it. So it'll be interesting to see how he how that progresses.
I would highly recommend everyone to check out the video, which is on the website.
It's a really good video, isn't it?
Because you'll see what I mean. It looks really like it could be really great.
I mean, I was kind of tempted when I was having a discussion about it, and I was kind of, you know, there's one route where you could literally just release it like that, couldn't you? And you wouldn't have to have a game. You could just do it and just let people play.
Yeah.
That would be fine, wouldn't it? I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you could almost think the worst thing that could happen is you put a bad game framework around it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think he's got some ideas about how obviously having made Populous about kind of how he would make that into a game.
So. 1,000 levels.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna be one of them.
It's quite interesting how they did that though. 1,000 levels. You moved up levels depending on how well you did in that level that you were last on. So you could skip like 15 or like at the start you could almost skip 30.
You couldn't play them all then. So you didn't really know they existed. So technically they were...
No, well, they existed because if you play them again, you could try and not go for the level that you got to before. And you got code. Each one of them had codes because it was before hard drives were on the Amiga.
So move on.
Anyway, I like Populous. It was a good game. What else we got here? Oh, talking of Amiga games, Rodland. Rodland is coming to iPhone. I haven't played Rodland, but I know about it. So I always used to look at the pictures in the magazine and think, that looks so cool. But Dot Emu, who you should remember as being the guys who brought R-Type to the iPhone, as well as a couple of other games. R-Type is the one that sticks in my head for some reason. Are bringing over Rodland. Full name, Rodland, a Fairy Tale. On September the 6th. It's sort of a single screen platform game in the sort of style of, not Rainbow Islands, because that was scrolling, but, you know, Bubble Bobble and stuff like that. Is it late 80s arcade machine?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Well, it's got you starring as a pink-haired fairy lady with a magic wand and a variety of cartoony enemies, and you've got to pick up objects and stuff. It was really good. Anyway, at the time, it was amazing. But yes, that's coming. So Amiga fans will no doubt want to pick that one up. Gameloft, let's go from the past to the future, because Gameloft has announced Modern Combat 3 is coming out for iPhone and iPad later this year. In fact, in the fall, in the autumn.
Yeah. They're French. Why do they say fall?
I don't know.
What game does this remind us of?
I was told it was October, by the way, at Gamescom. Uh-oh. But I was told that information is incorrect. So I keep being told by spokesperson. I got Naval. I had Naval tell me, actually, you know, that information about the Facebook link up not being possible, it's actually going to be possible. And I was like, what? I even asked him twice. I actually got confirmation. I was like, yeah, so you're sure that the Facebook... Okay, fair enough. I'll write that down. I'll put that as a... No, apparently that was wrong as well. There's just lots of people telling me the wrong information. And then I get them coming back to me going... Well, no, not them personally, but other people like in the same company going back and saying, what the hell was this? Where did you get that from? It's from your colleague. Your colleague told me. I don't just make up information. Anyway, so yes, Gameloft are bringing Modern Combat 3 to iOS. What does it remind us of?
I can't imagine.
It reminds me of Battlefield. No, it's called...
Aren't you fighting the blooming North Koreans? On the video I saw, there's a big like North Korean helicopter. It's like Homecoming. It's Homefront, sorry. Homefront, you fighting the North
Homecoming
Koreans in America?
Homecoming is a very different game. I don't know what Homecoming is.
You know what I mean.
It's still, you know, the demo. Well, the first level I played is still very much Call of Duty, to be honest.
Is it? Okay.
Call
of Duty meets Homefront.
That's Homefront. Yes. You start off on a helicopter, first level, shooting down people. The introduction video is basically like Gameloft's best attempt at doing Call of Duty, which I think is quite funny. It's all very boom, boom, boom across the world and going. He's been reported for faking down terrorist activity.
That sounds like an episode of Bugs, to be honest.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, it doesn't do that, because that is literally Call of Duty. But no, actually, that's Battlefield. I'm getting muddled up with all these exciting soldier games that are...
Soldier games.
They're all very different. Modern Combat 3. I got stuck on a chair on the demo. Well, I got stuck by a chair.
In the game or in real life?
No, by the game. And I was sort of, I spent about at least a minute or two trying to work out how to get around this chair. And the guy was there going, oh, actually, you have to go up the stairs around there, go down the corner, and then you're on the other side of the chair. I was like, but it's a chair. Surely I can take 20 bullets at once without dying, and I can't get around a chair.
Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, they might change the chair thing now, though, because apparently I wasn't the only one who's getting stuck.
Oh, really?
Okay. No chairs.
No chairs. Take out all the chairs. Remove the chairs. Jesus, guys, we got to get this game out in fall. We got to take out all the chairs.
That's actually a minigame.
I didn't see the multiplayer, but that's going to be the biggest draw, really, isn't it? Six game modes, 12 players now.
But it kind of is a surprise, isn't it? Because we've been told for about a year that they came off the now using Unreal for a lot of their games.
Unreal.
And they're not using Unreal for this one, because they've said it's going to be better than Unreal.
So
it's obviously using the same engine they've used as before. I mean, not updated, obviously, but
basically very similar looking to Modern Combat 2.
Mm.
But you know what? I actually thought Modern Combat 2 was quite fun.
No, I mean, the good games. I mean, it's
fun. Interesting as well. I was, because I played this almost at the same time as I played Battlefield 3 Aftershock. And it's very interesting to see how one team have done a completely different style, but with the same game. I mean, like, not just from the structure, because Battlefield 3 is now a wave-based sort of survival game, but also the fact that the controls themselves, because Gameloft have gone for all of that configurable thing, which I really enjoy, because their buttons are always in the wrong place for me. So that's good. But also, Battlefield 3 really does snap you. Like, if you press iron sight aim, then you just snap to the nearest person each time. It's got that, it's very sort of console-y, you know, auto-aim joystick feel. Whilst on Modern Combat 3, it doesn't automatically mean you're aiming at the enemy if you snap to them. So, like, you'll go up to iron sights and it'll be just slightly off from where they are. Or maybe it'll be directly on, but it doesn't give you that get-out clause by just hitting the iron sight button and firing. That's the biggest difference for me, anyway, because I'm a stickler for details. That's why I get stuck by chairs. I also saw Tintin. I know this is an extra bit of story. I saw Tintin, and that actually looked really good. That looks like an Unreal Engine game, but apparently it was the same engine. But I don't believe them, because that guy told me.
Is it a bit point and clicky?
No, it's stealth. It's complete. It's a,
it's complete a stealth game.
Yeah, it's a stealth game. But it's really clever. Though. Like they made the virtual joysticks into stamps from like the 1930s. So you have like you have different design of stamps for each of the actions you can do. It's quite clever. And so the virtual joystick itself is a circular stamp.
I don't really understand that.
No, I don't.
He travels all over the world. He's Tintin, for goodness sake. He has a quiff.
I'm not a Tintin fan.
You're not a Tintin fan? How dare you? you obviously don't know too many Belgians.
I don't know too many, no.
They beat it into you. They beat in the love of Tintin into your head. Nah, that's not true, actually. But the Belgians I do know, they do like Tintin. Anyway, let's move on from that casual racism and go to the new releases. This week on the new releases, I'm a French spy enacting senseless acts of justice to unicorns. There you go, that one actually made sense.
It doesn't. They never make any sense.
That one was quite clever. I didn't say all the titles. I actually.
I was just digesting one word before you moved on to the next one.
Got to keep up. I move fast. This week on the new releases, we've got the first up, we have Spy Mouse by Firemint coming out on iPhone while it's out. It's not coming out, it's out. Firemint's game.
Long anticipated.
Where it's a stealth game, actually.
it's a line drawing game.
Line drawing stealth game. No, I mean, the cats, if they see you, they chase after you, you know.
Yeah. It's not really stealth game, is it?
Stealthy. It reminded me of Command. So, yes. I've played a little bit of this. It looks good.
I'm reviewing it this week. I was going to mention it later, so I won't say anything now.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll skip over that. Spy Mouse. Fireman. What's about? Contradraw. That's Chilingo's game. Looks a bit like Limbo meets World of Goo. I think everyone says that. They must be getting sick of people saying that, actually. By Mocus. It's got great music, this. This is what I remember from the preview. What else? Let's have a look what else I remember from the preview. Oh, yes. I am assigned to review this, so I can't really say too much about it yet. But...
Well, at least you haven't told us anything about it yet.
Yeah, okay, sorry, yes.
So it looks like Limbo.
Looks like Limbo, but it's got that sort of... drawing lines from your character and sort of attaching to things gameplay about it. And it's also going to be a cut the rope in it as well, in the fact that certain objects attach to your character and you've got to let go at the right time. It looks great. I wasn't blown away on the preview, I've got to say. It looks nice, but it's sort of, I don't know. I need to give it a proper play because it does feel awfully like it's just sort of quite a few very... familiar games.
Oh, it's got a bit of Angry Birds in it as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it has. So it does feel like a greatest hit selection of whatever was successful on the iPhone.
But I guess from their point of view, just because I guess the art style is so it's so different that you kind of think, for a 99 cent game, you kind of think, they're not going to play it like Angry Birds, 250 levels and get all the stars, but it's a bit different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give too much, I don't want to say too strong an opinion on it yet, because I haven't given it a proper good play yet. I've only had a few hands-on.
It's a nice name. What does that mean?
It means... It's World of Goo meets... Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Minigame Paradise. That one doesn't look really good. I'll skip that. Nom 5. I don't think I've played a single Nom game.
Well, this video has been removed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I just found out as well. Fine. What's Nom then, John?
I've no idea. I can't remember. There's been four of them before, apparently. I'm sure I've played. But the first one's obviously like Java, because it would have been years ago.
Oh, no, I have played one of these before. I'm fairly certain of it. This was on Barda as well, wasn't it?
It's that silhouette
running man where you have to tap the screen and he jumps. That's what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't know. It looks a bit weird. Anyway. Okay, moving on from that. Hector, Episode 2, Senseless Acts of Justice.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm also reviewing this, but I haven't had time to play it yet. Unlike another Southern site, which puts out reviews in half an hour after they go off the game, which makes me very suspicious, I haven't had a go. So,
well, it's going to be more of the same, isn't it? We kind of
pretty much. Although you've made it harder for me because you gave the original a 6 or something, didn't you?
Was that harder?
Because I liked the original.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe 6 or a little bit harder. I don't know.
Maybe the puzzles won't be as good, or maybe, the app description itself says it's twice as long, but only half as good.
Yeah, but I don't think they're supposed to. I don't think you're supposed to take that seriously.
I know. So I'm going to be giving it a 3. Infinity Field. What's that noise for?
I'm clearing my throat.
Coughing, isn't it?
Oh.
I've got a bit of a bad throat, Will, yeah.
This looks exactly like Geometry Wars.
Infinity Field is good, though. It's a good game.
Is it?
Yeah. I had a preview play on it. I didn't review it, but I had a preview play on it. It's kind of easy to pick up, but hard to master, as they say.
All right, okay.
And it looks very nice.
Looks like Geometry Wars.
Well, no, cause, it looks nicer because the actual kind of screen you're playing in tilts as you tilt. So it's when you actually got it in motion, I can imagine it won't be as affecting as the iPad version for that. But when actually tilting the iPad, the whole screen kind of moves with it a bit like on a delay. So it feels like you're kind of tilting water around, if that makes sense.
Okay. But yeah, so Infinity Field, if you like Geometry Wars, you're probably going to like this. And water.
There are like that, aren't there? I mean...
There's lots, yeah.
Lots.
Hmm. I'm sure it's actually pretty good. I'll probably download it because I like these sort of games. But yeah, I've got to give people fair enough warning, you know. Right, thanks for joining me again. We're back doing the new releases. Apologies about that edit. That's because we went through a couple of awful looking games. Right, what's up next? Ooh, Demolition Master 3D. I like the name. It reminds me of my favourite actor, Wesley Snipes.
Game Maker. Turn game maker.
Game auteur, I think, is the correct game term. This game is a physics puzzler, it looks like, anyway. Involving you blowing up things. That looks good, hey? Everyone likes blowing up things.
In 3D, it's harder, though, isn't it? When we were at Gamescom, someone was showing me a kind of a 3D Angry Birds. Obviously, not Angry Birds, but. It's just odd, isn't it? Did we discuss this last week? I think we probably did. This blowing up things in 3D is just much more complicated. Much less satisfactory, I think.
Yeah. I quite like blowing things up in 3D, to be honest. Mm. Anyway, so yes, Demolition Master 3D. Sequel to Demolition Master and the 70 levels, Open Fate, Game Center, blowing stuff up. iPad this week. It's Peggle HD. Colors, crap. No, actually, I'm only joking. I like Peggle. It's PopCap, and it's Peggle. I'm pretty sure you know what Peggle is, so let's skip over that. If you know what Peggle is, you've already bought it. If you don't,
that's quite, isn't it? It's like one, like they dropped the price as well. They dropped the price of something. Anyway, don't worry.
So there you go. Oh God, that one looks terrible. I've just seen sliding block puzzle, and I'm skipping that. Right, okay. Let's have a look through these ones. Edge Extended, Sequel to Edge, and it's by Moby Games, not Tim Langdell. And yeah, it's, I don't like Edge. I've already made this point quite clear to everyone who's said Edge is good. I don't get it. I don't get the appeal.
It's just a puzzle, isn't it? It's a puzzle.
It's still clumsy controls. I've played it on like Java and touchscreen, and
yeah.
Both of them just clumsy controls.
Mm. But I think for some of those, again, I think games in 3D are just conceptually just harder to just go, oh, I know what I'm doing, I get into it straight away. I think they just, yeah, they just make the concept kind of harder. And obviously, Edge, the whole point of Edge is it's in 3D. So, you know, I think it's just a kind of more hardcore game.
Oh no, I don't even get the point of it. It just seems to be like, going around a maze.
Yeah, it's like all those kind of, what's that one where you have to navigate a totem pole around? Where you kind of, it's just learning navigation, isn't it? It's working out in your head on a grid-based format how you get from A to B, and with a few little kind of platforming bits chucked in, isn't it?
It would be nice if the block moved when you actually wanted it to move, and not half a second after you've asked it to. Because that would be handy. Also, when you're trying to go up a small slope, it didn't take like 2 seconds to wind its way up. But anyway, that's just my.
Well, maybe these have all been.
Maybe they have. Maybe better in these. Those sequel. Things have been changed. Anyway, Edge Extended is out now. I know lots of people do like Edge, so there you go. Sprinkle.
Angry Water.
Angry Water is out this week. I reviewed it earlier on this week on Android. Anyway, gave it an 8. I doubt that it's going to be different on the iPhone. So there we go. I'll talk a bit more about that game later anyway. Restaurant City Gourmet Edition. Sounds like a time management game.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I love the way they all look the same with the logos. That's from a time management fan.
But this is the Gourmet Edition.
Even more time.
Even less time, probably.
More like ingredients, I would think. More ingredients.
Yeah. I like the fact that it's had one customer review so far and it just says rubbish 1 star.
The thing is, I mean, EA have been so slow with these games coming to mobile. Well, obviously, you know, the restaurant, a tiny restaurant, is just enormous. You know, I mean, that tiny brand is there for, so it's kind of, if you wanted a restaurant game, you've been playing that already, like about a year ago. So. It just seems kind of odd that you
think the art style's not very nice.
To be fair, this is starting to sound a lot like just a normal freemium game rather than time management.
Yeah, it does actually. Looking at the pictures,
it's a normal freemium. It's a freemium game. Sorry, it's not
time management at all. Then.
Well, the freemium is about. It's kind of about.
No,
time,
it isn't.
Isn't it?
No, we're not going to
decide
about time. Time management is not. No,
it's the opposite of time.
Yeah, exactly. Time management is when you're against time, not when you're having to just like go, oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But anyway, sorry. It's a pet.
You're very angry again. You're angry. Yes. Your angry freemium voice came out there.
We're the Time Management Defense League. That's
yeah, exactly. I'm scared that people are going to just change time management to mean Farmville games, you see, because it does. I can see the logic behind doing that, but it already existed, and we're trying to keep the flame alive. We're like Esperanto speakers. We're not insane. Right. Well, Keith isn't. Let's have a look a little bit more. Blah, 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 blah. Those don't look very good. That one all looks all right. What's this? Oh, no, it's a tower defense game. Four Towers Onslaught, episodic tower defense. Although it's all called TD because you can't say tower defense.
You skipped one that looks quite good to me.
Really?
I like the look of Radballs.
Radballs is interesting, yeah.
Yeah, the art style there is about really it. But...
Let's have a look. Rad.
It's quite a funny.
Quite a good video.
Video actually. Yeah.
It doesn't look like a good game. I'm sorry.
I don't think that looks quite good. I'd play that. That's the kind of stuff I like. Looks a bit top of the pops in the 80s. I like that.
That's the video though.
Yeah, but I mean, a finger. It looks kind of. I like games like that. It kind of.
All right, Radballs.
The interesting thing about Radballs, though, is it ties in original soundtrack from award-winning producer Neil Voss of Nintendo Tetrisphere and New Tetris fame, featuring remixes of hit rockers OK Go and others.
There you go. Oh, OK Go.
Well, also, it's an addictive beat-fueled puzzle action game.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Key thinks it looks good.
I think that looks good.
That's Radballs, all one word. Dragon Fantasy. Now, I'm going to point out something. I know this may sound silly because, I mean, it's a picture of a skeleton. You're fighting him. But the skeleton captain flashes a menacing smile. Does not make sense. You can't smile without lips.
He hasn't even got a jaw. He hasn't even got a lower jaw. So
but mind you, dude, to be fair, it might be just a... It looks like it's probably a comedy RPG. I don't know. I'm hoping
that. Could he wink at you? No, probably not. Could he get like a cobweb, couldn't he, over it?
Anyway, so it looks like an old school RPG, that sort of pixelated graphics. Yeah. I'm sure some people will like that. Looks a bit basic. But maybe it's good. I'm not sure. But it doesn't look it. Anyway. Right. Finally. Tree Maker.
Which is another kind of a bit like Contra Dura, isn't it? I mean,
it is a little bit like that.
In a similar kind of taking the rope platforming physics kind of genre and whacking an interesting kind of art style. Like, I mean, is it? It's not really, you know, Limbo, is it? But
no, it's
more colourful. But you're playing a kind of odd black silhouette character.
Moves interesting looking. Looks smooth.
Apparently, up next on my video feed is Mego Games Tree Maker for Nokia N9 and N950.
Well, that'll do well.
Well, it's good to see them try to crack that tough Symbian market.
They make a lot of money there.
It's Mego, isn't it?
Not even
Symbian.
Well, they're going to have to crack the even tougher Mego market. I know Jeff, he's quite selective about what games he buys. That is the Mego market. So yes, it's a bit like Create the Rope. So there we go. That's the new releases this week. I know we always rush through them, but there were a lot of games there. If you'd like to see more about any of those games we mentioned, then do go to the website and we have a big old story called Midweek. That's with a hyphen, correctly with a hyphen. iOS releases. Just type that in the search menu and you can get to the Anthony story. Which just happens to talk about me being a celebrity radio star. I don't know if I've mentioned that, actually. But anyway.
That's strike two. Yeah.
Now onto the what we've been playing fields.
What we've been playing!
Right, welcome to the new releases roundabout. I am stood here with Keith and John. It's quite warm outside, which is surprising because it was raining earlier. We are looking out for the bus of games.
I think you might find a few are going to arrive at the same time.
Oh, we have been waiting here for quite some time. Here we go. Here comes the bus of games. It's got my name on it, which means I go first. So I got 60 seconds to talk to you about Sprinkle. All right, 60 seconds to talk about Sprinkle, starting now. Sprinkle is a physics-based... it's too tense if I do that. It's a physics-based water game, sort of. You are tasked with putting out fires on the planet, one of Saturn's moons, for the little inhabitants that live there, whose planet has been set on fire by a couple of fat space tourists bursting through the Saturn rings and sending comets down on there. Though I'm not making this up.
No, I'm sorry.
And yeah, so you get this massive fire engine and the hose, and you've got to put out the fires. The most striking thing about this game, and you'll see it instantly if you see it in the videos, is the water physics, which are, they're not overly realistic, so the water just suddenly vanishes after a few seconds. But the way that they interact, like if you keep a steady stream of water on a surface, then what will happen is that there'll be a water buildup just in front of the surface because of all the water coming back off the surface, if you get what I mean. You know what I mean. You've played around with a hose before, I'm sure. But
Keith's falling off his chair.
Oh dear. No, carry on.
So yes, you only get a certain amount of water on each level to put out all the fires. So that means you often the levels are quite viciously designed. Well, after the first 20 or so, because you have to both think about the order you're putting out the fires in, and also the amount of water you'd need. Also, there are physics blocks, like just blocks, or there are clouds, platforms, ice blocks, and of course they're all affected by the water stream in different ways, so you've got to try and use them as well. It's good. I liked it. I thought it was very nice. It's a very slick game.
Fairly complicated, isn't it, in terms of the physics interactions and the,
in terms of the interactions, it is very complicated. I'd say that was my biggest bugbear, actually, was that if you want to each set of 12 levels has to be unlocked by a certain amount of droplets that you get at the end of each level.
Okay.
Otherwise you can't progress, and once you get to the latter stages, it is actually quite hard to get 5 droplets when you really need it. The difference between 3 and 4 or 5 is so small that you can often get 5 droplets and be doing the level exactly the same way, but you got lucky maybe with the physics, because the water reacts as it should do. So there's no sort of like, if I put a stream of water here, it's guaranteed that it'll complete the level and I'll get 5, because you might have angled it ever so slightly differently than before, and you'll have like a bit of water coming off the ground which is stopping the stream from being as strong as before, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not quite clear.
But, yeah, there's some randomness in it. I have to say, I mean, I've not played anything like as much as you, just at kind of shows and stuff, and I found it could get quite difficult quite quickly.
Yes, well it wasn't as difficult as I thought, because when I played a few minutes of it in preview, I was like, what the hell. But actually, the levels, the introductory levels, are quite easy and get you into the game. Yeah. But yeah, it does get hard. It's also actually quite short. I blitzed through pretty much 3/4 of the levels in under 2 hours.
Okay.
Which, it's not an hour and a half.
It's not really the kind of game that you'd want to replay levels on, really, is it?
Not unless you need the droplets. Because, I mean, it is a bit frustrating to get 5. Yeah. So I don't see it being an Angry Birds thing. However, I did enjoy it quite a bit. I thought it was quite clever. Some of the level design was very fiendish, and I really like the graphics, and the controls were very good, and the water itself was quite fun. It was quite an interesting little game.
It's kind of nice to see people, because obviously there's so much physics now, it's becoming very, very difficult to do anything stand.
Yeah, exactly. I think water's the future for physics games. We've seen it in Tropia. And we've seen it in Sprinkle. So yeah, Angry Water. It's out now. Yeah. So yes. Oh, look at this. There's the games cart. Why, that's got John Jordan's name on it and your portrait, which I must say, John, looks nothing like you.
Why do you get a bus and I get a cart?
Wait to see what Keith.
Why do we get any of these?
Like a dust cart or something. What have we been playing? So I have been playing this week something that actually that I was kind of just kind of I got sent a preview code for it and I was just kind of messing around with it, and it actually came out last week while we were at Gamescom, and obviously being at Gamescom we weren't really kind of handling our email terribly efficiently. And it's a game called, I don't know how you pronounce it, it's in caps, D-E-O-D-O.
Oh, I was going to talk about that.
Oh, really? Okay.
You go first.
Okay.
I'll join in.
It's one of these games where the gameplay is not anything revolutionary at all. Basically, you're tapping on a screen and a little red dot man with funny eyes just jumps up in the air. But the fairly dull. But the interesting thing is he's on various kind of planets that have had big chunks ripped out of them. So he's basically sitting on a bit of grass on this planet that's slowly rotating. And there are various bits of green patches, I guess, green grass. And you have to press at the right time and press for like a long enough jump up that by the time he comes down, the bit of grass will have rotated around enough that he can land on it. If he lands on the black evilness, then he dies. And you basically have to keep going around each level until there's basically a red platform or red bit of grass or something, I don't know. And that's what you do. And in that degree, it's kind of very, very simple. you there's a certain amount of levels in each kind of slice of planet you do, and on the main menu, you basically the whole goal, which I think is probably the nicest thing that I thought was, is you basically start off just standing on one little tiny slice of planet, and then when you completed, I don't know, whatever it is, like next five levels, that's like five levels in each slice, and so basically you build up slowly the slices of this planet until you make the planet whole again. So that, which I kind of thought was a really gentle way of kind of encouraging you to complete a game, because I'm not someone, I don't give a toss about gold stars, you know, it's like, yeah, whatever.
You were never a very good student at school, were you?
No, I wasn't. No, that's all. but this kind of was just the graphical representation of you building the whole planet, I kind of thought was quite nice. And even nicer was that you don't get rated per level. So it's not timed or anything. But you basically, the game does give you a kind of score for how quickly you do it and how many times you die. You can have unlimited deaths, basically. And the less time you die, the more kind of plants will grow on that slice of the planet that you kind of, when you've completed it. So again, it's like just a really nice graphical kind of feedback loop. So I wasn't even going to review that. I was writing a news story about it, and I kind of ended up writing a review. So that was kind of quite nice. And the other big one I've been playing this week, which I am reviewing, is Quarrel. And Quarrel is in the UK has kind of, at least among some game journalists, has become quite a famous game, because it was developed by a Scottish studio called Denki, who I've certainly known for a long time, and they were kind of back in the day, actually came out of DMA Design, who obviously worked on the original GTA game, and they're like a little studio. They did lots of kind of DS GBA games and weird little things, and they kind of thought they're going to make a bigger game finally. They kind of had built up a bit of money, and they kind of thought, we're going to make this game. It's called Quarrel, and it's really wacky. It's basically risk meets Scrabble. So you basically you're given a series of a set of eight letters that make a word, an eight letter word, and you have to make anagrams out of it. I won't go into the whole detail. I mean, sometimes you have the ability to make the entire eight-letter word, and sometimes you only have maybe five. So you have to make a five-letter word out of the anagram. So it's kind of quite mixed up. But you're doing that against another AI opponent, and you're doing that for a kind of a control of a piece of territory, like in Risk, and so you move troops around. So it's fairly wacky conceptually, but it's just beautifully done. And they were trying to make it, they made it, and then they couldn't get any publisher to take it. Originally, they were trying to do an Xbox game on it. No publisher could take it, and they almost went bust, because no one, or they did kind of basically had to sack like 20 staff. So it's kind of good to see they've kind of finally now found a publisher, and they're doing it for iOS and other platforms, including XBLA and PlayStation Network. So I've been playing that. It's beautifully presented. I've not played a vast amount of it. The only kind of issue I have is it uses the Collins dictionary, which, as dictionary aficionados know, is
Collins.
It's kind of, what would be the equivalent? I don't know. Be like supporting
dictionary.com.
It's yeah. So there's really weird words. So obviously I'm a journalist, and I kind of quite like words. I'm not very good at spelling. I'm not very good at doing anagrams, so it appears. But just sometimes just the words they have, just like, that's not a word. I mean, you know, like one of them was, one I remember was the whole anagram was dewberries, D-E-W berries. And I kind of worked out, well, it's berries, and I've got those left. It's got to be dewberries, not Wednesday berries. But I just guessed, and it's like, oh yeah, dewberries, the well-known berries. Like, I don't know, maybe I've just not ever heard of dewberries. So that's my only slight issue, and obviously that's presumably because they couldn't license the Oxford English Dictionary because it's more expensive or something. Yeah, so that's, yeah.
Could have gone for the Merriam-Webster.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess the problem is you just need to buy a database, because you don't really want to have someone doing it manually, because that would take a long time. Although obviously since they started making the game, it was over 2 years ago. So if they had like a little intern doing it, they would have had it done by now. But...
Here we go. There's another vehicle coming around the. Oh, it's broken down. Yeah, it's the clown car for Keith Andrews.
Clown car. I don't even know what that means. Well, I was going to talk about DODO, whatever it's called as well.
You can talk about it as well.
Oh yeah, I wasn't anywhere near as impressed as what John seems to have been by it. Actually, I thought it's the entire. I mean, this is what I. Working for another unnamed website, and you get certain games come through like this, and you know, they all look, I mean, this looks amazing, and kind of actually what John was saying about the positive elements of it all kind of to do with the way it presents itself, and you, if you watch it in motion, it's a really nice, well, it's kind of really dark game, but a really nice art style they've gone for and the way it presents itself is really Swish. But actually, in terms of gameplay, there's nothing there. All you're doing is basically timing jumps as this little planet revolves, and it gets incredibly boring incredibly quickly. And I just found it really kind of style over substance nonsense, really. I'm not keen on that at all.
I mean, I certainly think they could have tightened up the level design. I kind of thought.
Well, I mean, no. To be honest, it gets very, in one way, it's very clever because it suddenly gets a lot more difficult. You look at the levels, in a way, they all look kind of the same, but you suddenly realise actually when you go to make this jump that one's a lot trickier than it looked, and so it has a nice learning curve. But I just think the actual basis of the game, the idea of just jumping, hold the longer you hold your finger down, the further you go, is just. You know, it's just kind of back to basics, kind of, it would serve as like a test or something. It's not a game. There isn't really anything there. It's just a kind of a thing.
No and stars.
No. It's not that bad. It's just, I think it's one of these games. I think there are lots on iPhone because of the freedom developers have got from the touchscreen that do things like this. I just think there's nothing really there. I wouldn't, you know. I mean, how much is it? It's like 69p or whatever it is.
99 cents.
Yeah, you can't say don't buy it because you're not going to waste any money. But as a thing, I wouldn't ever recommend it to anyone. It's just a thing. And the other game, as I was talking about, was Spy Mouse, which, to be fair, I've only been playing for today. Obviously, only came out at midnight, and everyone seems to be getting very excited about it. It's good, but in essence, actually, it reminds me entirely of another iPhone game. Creatures and Castles.
Of course,
virtually identical, in fact, in terms of what you do. What they've done, though, it feels like no insult to the guy behind Creatures and Castles, but this feels like a proper game in that the way it's presented is very Swish, and there's little. I mean, but for anyone who hasn't played it, you draw a line, pick up a bit of cheese, and head for the door whilst avoiding cats patrolling the level. So you draw out this line with your finger. As soon as you let go, he starts to walk. And the idea, obviously, is not to get spotted, to pick up the cheese, and to get to the door without being mangled by a cat.
Sounds like what I do every evening for dinner.
Yeah. And, so it's just it's very well done. Obviously, the first few levels are very easy, and you learn how to get to grips with it. And then they start to get more difficult. And, it's engaging because having, like I said, we've been playing it on and off today, and I feel like I'd quite like to play a lot more of it, so it must be quite good. But it is exactly the same ethic as what Creatures and Castles was. What makes it different is that there are little added touches, like there are little tiny bits of cheese you can follow after in the trail, which then lead you to a hidden part of the level. So and all that hidden part seems to have is bits more cheese, but it's for some reason very, very kind of, you discover this hidden part of the level, and it reminds me of games of old where there would be things hidden and so forth, and it feels like a fuller package, I suppose. And so I can see why people like it, but I don't think it's quite worthy of the excitement everyone's been having about it.
It is interesting, isn't it, because they've been working on this for so long, or it's been in development for so long that you kind of, and I just actually, there's one thing I just want to, and I've just checked this to know I'm right and you're wrong, Keith, not that you're wrong, but it's a thing that I noticed when I first played it, is that it's not as soon as you draw a line, but it's not as soon as you let go that he starts. He starts moving immediately as you draw the line.
All right. Oh well, I've not.
Which is obviously something they've you know, because they are Firemint, obviously a brilliant developer, made
Real Racing, and
Flight Control. So they obviously really have thought about why they've done this. So there must be a really good reason. And I've not played it very much either.
That's actually the only difference between the two games, actually, because on Creatures and Castle you draw the line, and then you have a separate press where you tell it to go.
And originally I found this quite difficult. That as soon as I, because it's only available on iPhone at the moment, so you're playing on a relatively small screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, when you put your finger on the spy mouse to move him, you're completely covering him.
Yeah.
And so straight away, because if you draw at the speed he moves, you have no idea where he is because he's under your finger. Well, but obviously, there's definitely a reason they've done that to keep the dynamism going. But I think that's quite. I found that like a really odd decision straight away. Yeah. Obviously, I think. There'll be gameplay reasons why they do it later on.
The other thing that annoyed me today, and I don't know whether I'll discover that I'm wrong on this as well, is that there are little kind of doorways to other bits of the level. So you walk to a little doorway and it takes you to another part of the level. But often, I mean, there's little bonuses for each level. So if you can complete it without lifting your finger, as in just drawing one line, you get a bonus. But that's not possible when you use these doorways, because you have to take them to the doorway and then it lights up on the opposing door when you then draw another line. So there's these bonuses on levels for drawing one line when it's not actually physically possible, which was bugging me a little bit because I kept thinking, what am I doing wrong? Because you can't actually do one solid line. So I don't know.
That's kind of odd, because you kind of think you should be able, if you are going through, well, again, it may be something they've thought about, and it seems odd or, you know, incoherent to us, but
it's weird that. Because the bonuses change from each level, so you have little goals, but the goal, this one seems to be on all of one I've played so far, of drawing it in one go. So it seems a bit strange that they left that one in for ones where it's not actually physically possible. But maybe next podcast I'll be telling you I've discovered I'm wrong there, but that's what I've played so far. But I mean, it's very nice. I mean, the whole thing is quite, you know, it's got kind of nice 60s feel to it. And just the way it kind of transitions between levels and so forth is very well done. And it feels like, I mean, you can see why EA, you know, snapped them up, because it feels like that kind of whole product that kind of covers every angle. But I don't think it's anything, you know, amazing.
I don't think it will have the appeal of Flight Controller, because it's just the linearity of it is so, you know, there's basically a kind of a right way to do it. I mean, there may be a few right ways to do it, but it's kind of, you know, whereas the Flight Control was a bit more, you can kind of do it, you know, you can kind of come up with strategies yourself, whereas this is,
yeah, you're playing,
you know, much less freeform, isn't it?
Yeah, they've decided the route they want you should go. I mean, there are little bits. I mean, it's quite nice, you can distract the cat by doing a little false route and then going back, and you pick up a toy mouse that distracts them, and watching them run into the wall and hurt themselves is quite amusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like a result of, rather than a one-man team, it feels like the result of a proper big, not, you know, big, but you know what I mean, full development team working on something with an idea, rather than someone who's come up with an idea. But the idea is virtually the same, really. So, yeah, it's all right. It's okay. I don't know. My view will change probably as I play it for longer, but I'm not sure it quite wants all this excitement I've been seeing on Twitter for days about it. So.
And I think there's also this... I mean, may come across a bit like an Angry Birds thing where, it didn't say it to me, so I can't say it, but I think he said it to Tracy, whereas the idea was this was like the next or Mario, or kind of like Spy Mouse was a Mario. Maybe it was supposed to be said in joke or something, but it's kind of hard to see that, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
To be honest. So, I'm sure it'll do well. I don't think it'll do very well. I could be made to it outsells Flight Control.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have thought so. It feels like, in a way, I mean, I know you're touching the screen, but it feels like a console game in a way.
No, you're right.
It feels bigger than Flight Control, but in a way that, as you say, that kind of actually makes it less grab hold of play just as you want, kind of thing.
Yeah.
What do you think, Will?
Right? Yeah, very good. Great. I love the gameplay. we're all done, I think. I can't see any more traffic. We are. It's getting really dark now, so we better head back into the Shadow News, which is where we source all our news stories.
Whatever drugs you two are on, I think I need to get hold of them.
talking of drugs, there's a great radio program on at 3 a.m. on the Tuesday. So no, Wednesday. So remember to tune into that. Previous Tuesday.
Again.
So you're on it every week now.
No, I'm not on it next week. No, I got it wrong. I started off on the wrong tent. Yeah, so if you're in the UK, then do listen again to my stint on Radio 5 Live. Where I never
heard of that station. Never heard.
Oh, they do stuff like, I don't know, football or something like that. No idea.
What's the BBC? I've never heard of it.
It's the big blue castle. We're going to be back next week. I won't be back next week. I'm away.
Oh, where are you?
I am going to be here. Or I might be in the park. Or I might be down the road.
Who's going to be in charge then?
No one's in charge
it's
anymore.
It's going to be you, John.
Anarchy. I might pass the baton. We could do
another live one.
Oh, we could do, couldn't we?
You two
somewhere in the city, sir.
Although, didn't we get complaints last time I was in control?
Yeah, but that's because you didn't mix the sound levels at all. You put in sound effects which I hadn't sanctioned, and they were completely the wrong levels. So like,
is it my fault?
Yeah. So like, when you did that a noise to stop me from swearing, it went like, rah! Even I sort of on my headphones, I went whoa. So I was fully. So when we got that comment on the iTunes store, I was like, well, fair enough.
I did try to.
It is hard on. It's harder on Audacity, to be honest. Mm. Well, you know, you record it and then send it across and I'll mix it or something.
Okay.
You could be in the Bahamas, or I think we should. I think we should get someone.
We could just do a live one. Yeah, just don't put any sounds in between. That'll be easier. So just do a live one, because
I'll do a live one without any.
Yeah, no, no.
Oh, we could pretend to do it. How we goes? How do we do it? We could just have to.
It's easy.
We could have it. We could have the sound things on like a player and play them, couldn't we? Like do it live.
Do it live. Like
the effects.
That would actually be. I'll enjoy that. I'll be listening to you guys while sipping margaritas. In Cambridge. Probably on Jesus Green or something. I don't know. One of them. Midsummer. That's one for all you Cambridge dwellers out there. Probably slumming it with the cows. Anyway, this is it. We're over. This is a very long podcast. Apologies. We will be back next week. And we hope you have a very good weekend. And we hope you have a very nice week. Right up until the podcast is released. And then we'll no doubt hope you have another great week after that. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Bye.